The following message is brought to you by City Place Church and Pastors Damon and Taisha Moore in Orlando, Florida. We hope this message inspires you to build new dreams, ignite your faith, and be established as the leader God is calling you to be. For more information, visit us online at cityplacechurch.com.
Joshua chapter 24. We read two passages of scripture last week, and we kicked off a series called Choose. And I have to be honest with you, I wasn't going to actually do this series. I had a series called Chase the Lion that I really wanted to start, and I just wanted to kind of grab our goals and chase down the goals and motivate everyone spiritually. And then the Lord kind of quickened me and said, Damon, slow it down just for a second to make sure that our focus is not on the tangible, but on me. So as a pastor, the coolest part of being a pastor is that I have the honor of actually speaking into your life. Some of the tougher times is when the Lord will correct me for you. And I have to go through that because I'm wrestling with what I want to say, and he says, that was all you. And what I need you to do is this. And sometimes it happens after I have done all of my notes. Straight up. Like, and my wife, she gets mad. She's like, why you come to bed? She don't do all that, but it makes the story sound better. So look, right? So to stereotype her is just, is fun because she's not up here, right? What can she do right now? She would be embarrassed if she walked up here and started yelling like she does at home. But that's during our small group of marriage. So look, so she says, why you keep coming to bed at 2 o'clock right before church on Sunday? And then what I really want to say is your Lord and Savior Jesus is the one who changed my message. But I can't do that because can I blame it on him? Should I blame it on him? I don't really know. But babe, it's all him. Did y'all see that? She did like this. And so the Lord challenged me to take a different perspective because as pastors of City Place Church, it's our responsibility to give you the rumble for the year as you're thinking about it so that it can confirm what you're already thinking about. My responsibility every time I preach is to not to take you to some spiritual high to where in the middle of the week you need another spiritual high. My responsibility is to give you a thus saith the Lord that I paid the price for behind the scenes so that you could go, exactly, that's what I thought. You just confirmed it. Let me take this thing to task. That's my responsibility. It's not to hype you up, even though that's what I'm going to do. It's to get you focused on what God's already been speaking to you or nudge you in areas where you know he's telling you to change and you fighting. It's not me, it's him. And so what we do behind the scenes is we prepare and then God says, you need to go in another direction. That was the feel-good message that you know you could preach sleeping and not even need to give effort. But this one right here, you ain't going to sleep tonight, buddy. Because someone in their own house is in a desperate need, and they're going to leave here thinking that I had already talked to you. Because some of you walk up and say, man, it was like you read my mail. It was like I had already talked to you. That's when God speaks, and nobody can take it away. So last week, I read two passages of scripture. One was in Deuteronomy, and the other one was in Joshua 24. And I did it successfully for those who were here, but we talked about in Deuteronomy chapter 30 where Moses, who is about to die, he looks at the people of Israel before he dies and he says, now listen, God has set before you options, life and death, blessing and cursing. Then he used his word. He says, now you choose. And then he goes through the resume and he said, God, this, God did this, he did this, he did this, he did this, he did this. And then he says, I got to go. The book of Joshua takes over for Moses when he dies. Towards the end of Joshua's life, in Joshua chapter 24, Joshua does the same thing Moses does to the people of Israel. This time, instead of giving them an option, he gives them the verbiage of an option, but then leads their decision-making. This is what he says in Joshua 24. He says this, he says, now listen, if you're going to have another God, pick him. If you're going to have God, pick him. But choose. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. It was different than Deuteronomy chapter 30, where Deuteronomy chapter 30, Moses says, listen, God has put before you blessing and cursing, life and death. And he says, choose life. He was kind of like giving them options. He said, this is what you guys can choose. That's fine. Joshua, in Joshua 24, he says, now listen, if you're going to serve him, serve him. If you're going to serve God, serve God. As for me and my family, we're serving the Lord. This is it. This is one decision. And I told the church last week that Joshua did something a little bit different than Moses did. He told all of the people, I'm going to influence your vote. I'm going to let you see that your leader is all in with God, and so is my family. And so we started last week by saying, if we're going to go all in with God, and if we have to make a choice, we have to choose to remember, watch now, the start, the middle, and the moment in our life when God does something amazing. The reason why is because so many times when we're praying and we're believing, if God does something, we move on to the next thing on our list. Or we start something and we devalue the moment we start. And most of us have things that we want to start, but we don't realize that we're not at the starting place anymore. So we have to choose to remember that we are starting. We are either in the middle or the moment that God does something. And we just use the scriptures that we preached from last week to show that when Moses was talking, he said, hey, we were once in bondage. God delivered us. He showed up with his mighty hand in the middle. And now you're in a place where you can begin to grab hold of all that God promised you the moment. Joshua was in the promised land, and he could look back and he say, we were in 40 years of bondage, and then we had to go through fighting kings, and now before I die, you are in your promised land. God has shown up in the moment. So you and I have to choose in 2018 that if we're going to be all in with God, that we have to remember our starting place, the middle, and the moment. And it can't stop there, because what do I do if I look back over last year? Because Damon, you said, you're not going to think about it. But what do I do if I look back at last year and I saw some things that I loved and I saw some things that I didn't like? Here's the thing. The fact that you are in 2018 tells me that you didn't lose. It tells me that you're actually winning and that you're not at the start anymore. You and I may have had that year where it felt like hell and everything went wrong. But here's the thing. You are not there anymore. The fact that you're still standing tells me that you're heading towards victory and that he only sees victory. And so if I can remember the start, the middle, and the moment, then I will remember to celebrate and praise along the way. Because now, since I realize that 2017 truly is gone, it's not Groundhog's Day. We didn't wake up on January the 1st and it was like, it's still 2017. You didn't wake up today feeling like it's 2017. In reality, it is 2018. You made it. You have a reason to give God praise because you didn't tap out. You could have thrown in the towel. You could have been suicidal. You may have been suicidal, but you didn't take the risk. You didn't go all in on a thought that could have taken you out. You held on long enough to say, let me give 2018 a shot. Since you did that, since you're still chasing, you need to give him some praise. In fact, can I steal a little something from one of my favorite preachers, Jensen Franklin? Why don't you give Jesus right now a 5-second praise break? Pause. That was great. Honestly, if your football team won yesterday or you won the pick 3 in the lotto, I thank you for my $20. Let me cash it in. Let's give Jesus Christ a 5-second praise break, because when you thought you were going to lose your mind, man, I feel like preaching up in here. Remember, I told y'all I feel a little preachy because it's a new year. Sometimes you have to preach yourself happy. Have you ever had one of those laughs when you just start laughing for no reason and it's because you're about to go crazy and the only thing you need to do is laugh? You ever had that? Where someone cuts you off and then you get mad, you're like, come on! And then right after that, another person cuts you off. Sometimes I get cut off and then cut off and I'm like, these people are crazy. These people are testing me today. They're out of their mind. Sometimes you have got to preach yourself and praise yourself to, regardless of how you feel, and go, I made it. I survived. I didn't lose my mind, even though in December I did. I didn't hurt nobody, even though I slammed that person who cut me off against the wall. I didn't do it the first 7 days of January. So again, I'm going to give all of us 5 seconds for a quick, I started, and I'm going to stop right there and praise him. Maybe you're in the middle of whatever it is. I'm going to stop right now while I turned in the application. And instead of waiting to find out, let me praise him right now in the middle before they tell me one way or another. The moment, maybe God brought you through and you're not sick no more, why would you go to the next thing on your list? Pause, praise break. Thank you that the cold is gone. Don't have the allergies. I can breathe better. Thank you. So we're going to give God, if you feel uncomfortable, I'm sorry. But let me prove why. In Exodus, after God separated the Red Sea, dude is amazing. Separated the Red Sea with one dude holding out a rod. The Bible says that Pharaoh and the chariots were coming. Moses, pull back your rod. The people of Israel are already on dry land, and the Bible says that all of Pharaoh's chariots, horsemen, warriors, swept away. Miriam says, yo, I got a song. We need to pause right here. Click the track. I just wrote it. Y'all don't know it, but I'm going to sing it for you, and then we're all going to sing it together. She's like, hey, praise to the Lord our God. The horse and rider, he's thrown into the sea. This is our God. Ain't nobody like him. Do y'all know it yet? You don't? Let's say it again. Who is like our God? Nobody like our God. The horse and rider thrown into the sea. Who is like our God? Do y'all know it yet? Let's sing it again. The God, nobody like him. No, I just changed the words. That's because that's what freestyle rap is. It's never the same. It's never the same. Freestyle rap is never the same. It's original lyrics. It's original lyrics. So on the count of three, you have 5 seconds to give him what he deserves. I don't know the level of your intensity, but I'm looking at people who are breathing. One, two, three. Yeah. Yeah. So, please don't eat into my time, y'all. That was more than 5 seconds. We can just stay the time. I remember the start, the middle, and the moment. I can't just stop there, so I'm going to praise him along the way. Because I realize all that he did. And so, as we were transitioning through the service, I just threw this out. I said, hey, if you had to write a lyric, what would your song say? So as you're going throughout the course of this year, you've had 7 days already of God doing things in your life. Starting tomorrow, starting today, write down a new song. Thank you, Lord Jesus, that I walked into church today. Boom! There it is. I just wrote a new song. I know it seems so insignificant, but to a God that does amazing things, he breathed life into one man, and everybody's been breathing since. Your God is big. So the fact that you walked into church today, what we might go, I do that every day. He goes, we created this thing amazing. We started with one, everybody breathing. High five. Your God's big. So we said, let's choose to celebrate. Let's choose to praise. And then what I did was I did like this straight up. We're here. We're excited. I don't mind praising. And I just said, after you praise, let's choose to pray. Because in our normal self, it is our normal DNA to go to the next thing. Are you with me? It's innate in us to see God do something or view something as insignificant and move to the next thing that's on our list. Knowing that, let's choose to pray and fast because we realize that there is more that we want to see God do. So instead of me just going, why don't I pray and fast first? Because if I pray and fast first, what I'm saying is, God, I want to be humble. And I realize that you are the ultimate source of everything anyway. Because remember, I chose to remember the start, the middle, and the moment. I'm celebrating and I'm praising. The formula for seeing God continue to do things doesn't stop there. I have to go to the moment where I go, God, there's so much more that I want to do. And you can see it on the screen. Ezra had just this desire where he said, there's something that I need God to do, and I'm going to humble myself, and I'm going to pray. The Bible says in Ezra that they humbled themselves, and then they prayed because they needed God to show up. So after I start, you know, the middle, the moment, I remember all those things, and I'm celebrating, and I'm praising. Now I have to stay in an attitude where I'm like, God, there's more. I'm hungry. But before I just chase, let me stop and pray. Let me set aside some things that will distract and let me give you all of my attention. I'm going to humble myself because I realize that this is not about Damon. This is not about me. This is about you being glorified and people watching. You are a preview of a coming attraction. Did you get that? You are a preview of a motion picture. All of your friends, all of your family watches. And before I would ever put a film out, I want to make sure that the director tweaks it. So before we chase, we say, God, I'm praying, I'm fasting, because I want to be humble in everything. The second reason why is because it aligns me to who God is. That's what we said last week. It aligns me to who he is and what he's saying. God, I want to be able to hear exactly what you're saying. I don't want to go out here all on my own. Everything that I do, I want to do according to what you're telling me to do. So I'm going to pray, and I'm going to fast. And so we ended there last week. And this morning, as we kick off our 21 days of prayer and fasting, I was thinking all this week, because I had certain things that I was going to say, and I had like pointed out the message, and I was like, those points feel so tired. They just feel like they're just adding on to a message that was preached last week. And then as I was praying, I felt like the Lord said this: you're choosing to remember the start, the middle, and the moment. You're choosing to praise. You're choosing to celebrate. If everyone chooses to go into me 100%, I want them to choose to prove me. I want them to put me in public and put me to the test. So I'm like, well, God, what you talking about? What you talking about? That's kind of bold living right there, ain't it? That's kind of bold living, because if I step out and say City Place Church is going to plant more churches and we're still mobile right now, that's kind of out there, ain't it, Lord? If I tell people that I'm going to own a business and I ain't even got my stuff together 100% yet, that's kind of out there, ain't it, Lord? It is if I just run. But if I choose to remember the start, the middle, and the moment, celebrate, and praise him along the way, if I choose to make prayer and fasting a part of who I am, then when it comes time to prove God, he says, choose to prove it. So some of us in here have been on the edge of if we want to go all in on God. Prove him. If he is who he said he is, give him an opportunity this year to speak to you. Why not? What's the worst that can happen, right? Right? Well, what's the worst that can happen? He says nothing. If we can't hear him anyway, why don't we just prove him? If I'm struggling financially and I've been trying it on my own, why don't I just really see if giving works? What's the worst that can happen? Y'all okay? This is what the Lord told me to tell you, is put him to the test. Choose to do it. Choose to say, God, I am going to trust you 100%. I'm going to remember the start, the middle, the moment, celebrate, praise, pray, and fast. I'm going to do whatever it takes, but you got to show yourself off. Choose to let him show you his reality. But here's the task. You cannot put your own hand in it. You cannot touch it the minute you want him to prove himself. The reason why, because if it doesn't go the way you want it, you and I both blame him. Y'all okay? In 2018, see, this is me. Again, I'm just telling you the truth about me. Please don't judge me. I blame God for stuff that I run and do. Anybody else? I blame God, and he's going, you didn't really prove me. You didn't really stop and celebrate the start. We started together, and then you just kept running. We did some things, and then you never came back. You didn't come back to say thanks. You just kept running to the next thing. So you're way out there, and then it doesn't happen in your microwave mentality, Damon, and then you blame me. You don't know if I was going to take a month, a day, a year, because you didn't ask me. You left out the prayer part. You didn't celebrate when I healed you. You didn't celebrate when I opened up a door. Y'all all right? In 2018, prove him. Prove him. Put him to the test, but then don't put your hand. So here's my challenge. Here's my challenge. Watch now. Some of us, me included, hold on to things that we know, watch now, will block us from having a close relationship with God. And then this is what we'll say. This is what we'll say. I'm guilty. He don't talk to me. It seems like he doesn't answer my prayers. The reason why is because this thing over here, I keep my hand on. So what I try to do is I pray on this side, but I orchestrate everything on this side. This year, choose to prove him. Are you with me? So here's what Malachi says, and this is what I love. This is a scripture verse, watch, that will freak most people out. The reason why is because it deals with money. Everybody say money. Watch. It says, bring ye all the tithe into the storehouse, so that there may be meat in my house, saith the Lord. Prove me now in this, and see if I will not open up for you the window of heaven and pour out for you blessing that you cannot contain. Everybody say, money! Let's get it out of the way. Let's get it out of the way. Watch. In this verse, he is talking about money. He is. But let me show you something that jumped out to me. He said, bring all the tithe into the storehouse. Can I set aside the money? The tithe means the tenth, the first part. So here's how I looked at this verse. Give me the first part of your heart. Give me the first part of your life, the driving force, your dreams, your prayer request. Give it to me first and let me unlock for you heaven, the blessing that you cannot contain. I'm just using the verse to prove God. Y'all okay? I feel like got to keep working day and night. Oh, working hard up here, working hard. He says, prove me now in this. Don't delay. Put me on blast. Old school word. Put me to the test. Put me on trial. Can we give God the first part of our decisions? Could we give God the first part of our marriage? How about the first part of our dating relationship? Come on. Come on. I know they fine. But what if I switched it and I said, God, is it the one? Shall I pursue? What about giving God every morning? What about giving God the prayer before the meal? I know this sounds so trivial, but still. What about giving God the first 10% of your money? Just saying. What about giving God the first part of your service? What if we said, God, I'm going to give you the first part because I want to pray first and fast first because I want to humble myself to be aligned with you. Then I want to see heaven dropped on me. Choose to prove him. Give it to him first. Every aspect of your life, God, your priority. Don't care what it is. Give it to him first this year. Give it to you first. Hey, last year, I had some bumps and some bruises, things that I didn't know was going to happen. Man, there were some moments where I was like, chariots of fire. Dun, 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 dun. And while I was running trains, sometimes those moments happen. Seriously, Damon, last year, there was like a month where I was just like dragging. And my friend, Israel Campbell, who pastors a church in Los Angeles, he sent me this crazy, crazy verse. I was like, man, I don't get this. And the end of the verse said, my people have forgotten how to seek my guidance and seek my blessing. And I talked to him on the phone. He was like, look, man, let me tell you something. You should just focus on what he's doing. Focus on what you're believing for. Why don't you look at him for that? So this year, the start, the middle, the moment, celebrating and praise. If I'm going to pray and humble myself and fast over these next 21 days, I'm giving it to you, God. I'm humbling myself. I want to align myself with you. I'm not running ahead anymore. I'm going to give you the first part of everything that you're seeing for me. So here's my challenge. And I'm going to wrap up here. What is it that you'd like God to do for you where you can put him on the target board without you putting your hand on it? And that is what we as a church will lay before the Lord in prayer. Let me give you an example. Last week, we had some people write down prayer requests. You okay? Someone is believing the Lord for salvation for a loved one. Someone is believing the Lord that their loved one is going to graduate from high school this year. Someone is praying for their mom's health. Someone is praying that they can listen to God for total completeness of their life. Here's the thing. That's just a couple. If I take that and I lay it before the Lord and I say, Lord, prove yourself in my child's graduating from high school. And I break it down and I say, God, give them favor. God, I'm going to celebrate the fact, watch now, that they're in high school, that they didn't drop out. I'm going to celebrate the fact that they're heading into their graduation year. And God, I'm going to celebrate it when they walk across the stage. Every part of the year. They have 4 months left. God, I celebrate that he or she made it to January. I'm going to celebrate the fact that, God, you see the provision right now that I don't see. So I'm going to celebrate that along the way. Then when baby girl or boy walks across, I'm going to say, you proved yourself faithful to what you promised. I have a tendency to go, oh, they graduated and forgot I prayed about it. But this year, if I go, God, I'm praying that my kid will graduate from high school. Prove yourself. Prove yourself. When he does it, praise break. Yeah, not just Samantha, you did a great job. Johnny, you did a great job. Here's $20. No, let me tell you, do you know that at December the 31st, I wrote your name down and we said that we were going to pray that you would graduate. God did it for you. Let's give him a praise break. Then you know what I'm going to do? I go back and I go, God, here's the next thing on my list. But God, I'm going to give it to you first. I'm going to choose to pray and fast because I'm giving it to you first. God, right now I'm believing you for my mom to be healed. Could be the second thing on my list. God, prove yourself the way you did when baby girl or baby boy graduated. Because I proved you to be faithful. This is the second thing that you dropped in me to ask you for. And this year, let God prove himself to you. But don't put your hands on it. Worship team, you can come up. Let God be himself with no containment. Let God be who he is with no containment. So here's just a couple of thoughts that I want to just give you as we take these next 21 days of prayer and fasting. Is any time we come together as a corporate group of people, we want to pray that the presence and the power of God moves in such a way that we can see his hand work. Are you with me? So here's the thing. You and I will humble ourselves over the next 21 days of prayer and fasting. And on our church website, we've got the different types of prayer, the different types of fasting. Because here's the thing. I want to humble myself out the gate. This is not the Damon Moore show. This is not the X show, whatever your name may be, so that I can have my own stuff and just roll on to whatever I'm believing. No, this is God's work in me to become who he created me to be so that I can influence the kingdom and pull more people to him. So if that is the case, I have to give him permission and room to work. So over the next 21 days, we're going to humble ourselves and we're going to say, God, be who you have designed me to be. Be who I am going to allow you to be. I'm humbling myself right out the gate. So I humble myself and then I say, God, now you got to speak to me. Because I want to know how I'm going to pray. I want to know who I'm going to pray for. I want to know what I'm going to chase after. I want to align myself so that as I'm praying, as I'm chasing after the things that you have designed and called me to accomplish. So here's the thing. As we pray and fast, I said this last week, prayer and fasting will impact the start, the middle, and the moment. Because if I choose to pray and give God my best, then I'm going to stay committed to the fact that I need to remain aligned and that everything that I need God to show up, only he can do. Prayer and fasting doesn't just humble myself, doesn't just align me, it impacts the start and the middle. And here's the final thing, is that prayer and fasting allows God's power to be displayed. It allows God's power to be proved. Here, let me read you this verse. Daniel chapter 1, and we're closing. Daniel chapter 1, 11 through 16 says that Daniel then said to the guard, whom the chief official had appointed over Daniel, Hananiah, said, please test your servants for 10 days. Give us nothing but vegetables to eat and to drink. Then compare our appearance to that of the young men who ate of the royal food and treat your servants in accordance to what you see. So the servant agreed and he tested Daniel and his friends for 10 days. They decided that they didn't want any of the king's delicacies, that they would just eat vegetables. That's all they wanted, was vegetables, because it was outside of what they had in the conviction of their heart. So he says, we don't want to eat that. If you can just give us this, I promise you that what you'll see in us will look better than everybody else. Verse 15, it says, and at the end of the 10 days, they looked healthier and better nourished than any of the young men who ate the royal food. So the guard took away the choice food and the wine that they were to drink and gave them the vegetables instead. Context, the people of Babylon had a certain style of food that went against what the people of Israel were supposed to partake of at the time. And Daniel, when they were presented with that, said, I cannot defile myself or what God has asked of us. And he says, if you give me vegetables, I'll show you that we'll look healthier. Daniel, what Daniel was saying was, let me prove my God in front of you. And we read in the story that they look healthier after they ate the vegetables. But it doesn't stop there. Let's go on. Daniel chapter 6. And Daniel answered, long live the king. My God sent his angel to shut the lion's mouth so that they would not hurt me. For I have been found innocent in his sight, and I have not wronged you, your majesty. The king was overjoyed and ordered that Daniel be lifted from the den. Not a scratch was found on him, for he had trusted in his God. Second story. Daniel looks at Daniel chapter 1. He says, hey, I can't eat what you guys are eating. Let me put my God to the test. You just give me vegetables. Verse 14 of chapter 1 says, and Daniel and his friends look healthier than everybody else. Daniel chapter 6 is the story of Daniel's in the lion's den. How many of y'all heard that story? The story says this, that the men, the leaders who worked around Daniel, could not find a reason, watch now, to have Daniel removed because everything that he did was entrusted by his leader. But they decided that they would test his relationship with God, if you read chapter 6. And so they found something in Daniel's discipline with God, and they said, we'll test that. And they went to their king, and they said, king, you should make a rule that no one can pray to anybody else except for the God that you put in. And the story said, and I believe it's verse 10, that Daniel heard them talking about the new rule. And it says that Daniel heard the new rule that he couldn't pray to any other god but except for the God of Babylonia. And Daniel went to the upper room, and it says that Daniel prayed with the door open just like he had done before. Daniel, watch now, Daniel was always proving his God, because he chose, God, I'm going to walk with you at the start, the middle, and the moment. I'm going to celebrate and praise you along the way. I choose to pray and fast. I don't want what you have. Just give me vegetables. That's all I need, just 10 days, and let me show you that I'll be healthier. He gets over to where the king says, you can't pray to nobody else except for our God. Daniel says, watch this. It says that he goes up to the upper room and he says, let me do what I've always done. You can read it right there. It says that he got down on his knees and he opened up the door so everyone could see, because remember, you are a preview of a coming attraction. You're a motion picture. He says, God, everything that you've already done in the past, everyone is watching you right now. They've come after me because they want to see the tangible presence of my God. The only thing is that they put it in a box that said, I can't worship you. I know that they want to see that you are amazing. So he goes up, and the Bible says that he did it 3 times that day after they told him it couldn't be done, because that's what he had always done. So he's lifting up the name of the Lord. I can see him saying, God, thank you for the time when they told me that we had to eat what was put in front of us, but I tested you and you proved yourself. I can see Daniel saying, thank you for the times when the king, chapter 2, 3, 4, 5, when the king had a dream and he needed it to be interpreted and you gave it to me and I was able to interpret it. I thank you for the time when my friends were unfairly thrown into a fiery furnace, but when the king looked in, he saw a fourth man that looked like the Son of God. Thank you. I just want to stop while I'm in the middle of this test, because it started when they made this rule. But I'm not going to wait to the end to see how it turns out. I'm going to give you praise at the start, which is now my middle, because I'm praying right now in the middle of what they just said, so I'm not at the start anymore. So I'm going to pray right now, because they will be knocking on my door and they will throw me in the pit with the lion. But before I get there, and before that moment starts where fear could totally try to take me out for what I'm praying for right now, I'm going to praise you right now. I'm going to praise you in the middle because you're still God. And I have been committed to praising you and giving you glory, whether it's at the start, the middle, or the moment. And nothing's going to change now. No one is going to put my God in the box because this year is different than previous. So let me praise right now. Let me worship right now and let the whole world see, because I am going to show you off. I am putting you on the big screen, God, because I need you to prove yourself in front of every single person. So I'm going to praise you right now because I choose to do so. Here's what's cool. I love this. In last week's message, Deuteronomy 30, to Joshua, mic drop moments before they die. Daniel, where he says, God, you will prove yourself and I know it, was about 800 years. But here's the thing about the Hebrew boys. All of them, watch now, were taught that you were to remember what God had done in the past. So the stories of what Moses had said, choose life or death. I don't know. You pick. Joshua saying, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord, and this is it. Got down 800 years to a boy named Daniel, who when it came time for the vegetables, he was like, I'm choosing God. It's always been that way. There's no other options. Test number one, I'm proving him. Test number two, lions, tigers, bears won't change me. I'm praying because it started with Moses, got down to Joshua. They've been passing it on. They chose God ever since then. Why would I change now? I'm all in. It's been taught to me. He's proved himself faithful over the last 800 years. Why would he change now? You're on the clock, God. Do what you can do. I read the verse to you. Daniel gets thrown in the lion's den. The king wakes up. The Bible says, watch. The Bible says that the king could not sleep. The middle of the night, the problem can't sleep. The one that puts you in the prison can't sleep because it knows that it's on an eviction notice. Your problem, your concern knows that it's on borrowed time. He gets to the den and he says this, how is it that your problem is looking for your deliverance? Can I tell you that you serve a big God? You're not supposed to be in a box. Your health problems, your marriage problems are waiting for you to wake up and say, I'm all in. I'm proving him. I'm not letting him go. This is different. I choose to celebrate and praise in the start, the middle, and the moment. I'm all in with prayer. I'm all in with fasting. Watch. Said that the king runs over and says, Daniel, has the Lord your God saved you? Excuse me? You just talked against him. Has the Lord your God proven himself like I thought he would? You mean to tell me that the enemy of our life knows that the God that we serve is bigger than the enemy of our life? Watch. Daniel! Daniel's like, hey, it's all good down here. Simba's okay. Mufasa's here too. If we go all in, God will prove himself. He doesn't leave any doubt. But if Daniel puts his hand on it, we don't read about him. We don't read about Daniel. If Daniel goes, it's a done deal. Why do I need to pray? But Daniel knew. I've celebrated this man at the start, the middle, and the moment. It's been in me over the last 800 years. It's been taught. I'm going to celebrate and praise along the way because he just handled the vegetables. And I know it can seem insignificant, but if he can handle the vegetables, surely he can handle the lions, right? This year is different. You and I will seek the blessing of God and choose to go all in. Prove him. What's the worst that could happen? He does what he says. Because when he does what he says, we can't go back no more. Here's the challenge of our life is that you and I just have to choose. And we can't choose to live an average life anymore when we serve an amazing God. Will you bow your heads?
That's all for this week's podcast edition. Join us online at cityplacechurch.com for more resources, upcoming events, or to submit a prayer request. Or if you are in the Central Florida area, join us on Sunday morning for a life-giving service that builds dreams, ignites faith, and establishes leaders for the kingdom of Christ.